Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Wommen, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching, focusing on being led by the Holy Spirit, was recorded at a recent Gospel Truth seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Man, God doesn't want you to just be able to put up and live with something. You need to get this attitude that you aren't only going to knock the giant down, but you are going to cut its head off, hold it up, and you are going to make the enemy flee from before you. You need to get aggressive. And man, when that happened, the army began to flee. And then all of the people who had criticized him and said, "We can't win," they came out of their holes and out of the caves, and they got on the bandwagon and they began to chase, and they won the battle. And all of those wimps finally got with it. Brothers and sisters, the reason I brought all of this out today is to say that what made David who he was the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit. And what we have, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life, is 1,000 times stronger than what David experienced. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit. He'll never leave us. Amen. And yet we are approaching our problems powerless, fearful, crying out, asking God for mercy, pleading that He could please do something as if we have no power. I guarantee you, God has equipped all of us. Jesus said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." The Holy Spirit is a baptism of power. You've got the Spirit of might upon you. You've got an anointing on you that says that you will prosper whatever you set your hand unto, that you will be the head only and not the tail. You will be above and not beneath. And yet I have people, and I'm not saying this to be critical of anybody, but I'm trying to stir you up. I have people come to me by the hundreds that are saying, "I'm beneath and I can't get above. I'm the tail. I can't be the head. Nothing's ever working for me. And I just want to shake you until your teeth rattle." Like, man, you got the power of the Holy Ghost. Why don't you use it? Why don't you stir yourself up? Why don't you go to believe in God and start believing that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world, and do something with it? We've got the power of the Holy Spirit, and yet most of us are going around acting like we are no different than our neighbors that don't even know God. No different than other Christians that don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I guarantee you, tongue-talking, Spirit-filled believers ought to be operating in an authority and in a victory that ought to make the rest of the Christians just salivate for the power and the anointing of God that's in our lives. And yet it's really, in many cases, the exact opposite. I've had denominational people come to me many times and say that, "You know what, why would I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I know this person who has it. They're sicker than anybody else. They are some of the most depressed, defeated, poor people," and on and on and on. It's not the way it's supposed to be. I'm telling you, God gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could walk in absolute supernatural victory. The power is here, but you got to stir it up. And that's what I've been trying to do, is to stir you up with these examples. If David, who had something that was inferior to what we've got, could do these kind of things, then we can certainly do it. You need to quit this attitude of being defeated and powerless. You need to start recognizing that God, through the Holy Spirit, has equipped you and given you power. And until you believe it, nobody else is going to believe it. If you don't believe it, the devil doesn't believe it. The devil can tell what you really believe. The devil knows when you are going to just give token resistance. If you say, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave," but he knows whether you are really angry and whether you mean it or whether you're just mouthing the words hoping that he'll run over the hill and hide. And the devil has been around a long time. He's a good judge of personality. He can tell what you believe. I told a woman out here today that the reason, she said, "I've rebuked," and it leaves, but then comes back. And I said, "The reason is because the devil knows that you aren't absolutely firm and committed in this." I said, "The moment that he knows that you are not going to compromise, and he knows that there is no chance, he will quit fighting you in this area, because basically the devil's a coward. He will not push the envelope." Let me give you one last testimony. I'm going to quit with this. But I was spending the night in a guy's house one time, and he had a pit bulldog that was an attack dog, and it had won all of these trophies for being an attack dog. I mean, he must have had 10 or 15 awards on the wall. And he was going to make me sleep in the room with this pit bulldog. And so as long as the guy was up, I was okay with it and stuff. But then when it came time to go to bed and he was going to shut me in that room with the pit bulldog, I said, now what happens if I have to get up during the night and go to the bathroom or something? What's going to happen with this pit bulldog? And he said, oh, he won't hurt you. Says, he's not a mean dog. And I looked at all those things on the wall and I said, what do you mean he's not a mean dog? He's an attack dog. He's got all of these trophies. He says, there's a difference between a mean dog and an attack dog. And to give me an illustration, he said that there was a guy that broke into his house, and this guy lived way out in the country, I mean a mile or two off of the road. And he said that a guy broke into his house and his dog attacked him and knocked him to the ground and put his mouth around his arm, and for 3 hours until somebody got home, he held that guy on the floor, and every time he'd start to move, he'd growl and squeeze. But he never did break the surface of his skin. He never did a thing to him. He says, that's an attack dog. He says, a dog that would just bite somebody, he's a mean dog. And he says, I'd kill a dog like that. And you know, when he said that, now, I was a jogger at the time, and I have jogged, and I've had dogs attack me from one end of this country to the other. I spent hours, I forgot how many hours, but I was out jogging at like 4 or 5 in the morning, and I got treed by 5 dogs, and I stayed in that tree for 2 or 3 hours until somebody got up and came and called the dogs off. I've had dogs bite me, chase me down the road. I'm not really afraid of dogs, but I had been intimidated by them because I'd been bitten so many times. And when he said that, it's just like something happened on the inside of me. Something snapped. And I said, I'm the one that God gave authority, and the fear and the dread of me is supposed to be on these animals. And I have been letting animals intimidate me. And did you know, from that moment on, I changed my attitude about dogs. Now, if a dog had just had puppies, I wouldn't go up and try and take the puppies away from a mother dog, because you know what? They're going to defend themselves. I wouldn't go into a dog's turf and just do something to aggravate them. I'm a dog lover. I've had dogs all of my life. I'm not against dogs. But if I'm jogging down a street and if a dog comes out against me on a public road and attacks me, that dog had best be able to defend himself. And it's happened. After that, I had 2 Doberman pinchers, which were the ones that bothered me the most. I had 2 Dobermans come out against me in Sylacauga, Alabama. And they came, and I mean, I got right down in their face. I was swinging, kicking, I was yelling and screaming, and it was something to see these dogs just stop, turn around and start running. And here's a jogger chasing 2 dogs down the road. And here's my point for bringing this up. That you know what? Animals are able to perceive what you feel. And if they perceive that you are angry at them, you know what? The fear and the dread of us is in animals. And if they can perceive that you aren't afraid of them, you can back down. Dogs, animals, anything. You can take authority over them. But if they perceive fear on the inside of you, they will take advantage of that. And that's the way that Satan is. Satan can perceive whether or not you really believe, whether you are adamant and absolutely committed to the fact that you're the one with the authority and the power. They can perceive this. And if the devil can perceive that you're wavering, that you've got unbelief and fear on the inside of you, I guarantee you, he will eat your lunch and pop the bag. But once he knows that you know who you are, I guarantee you, Satan will not bother you as much. This attitude that I've been trying to present today, talking about recognizing the power of the Holy Spirit on your life and getting an attitude to where you're the one that's in covenant with God. Those problems out there are the uncircumcised Philistine. They have no right against you. And when you get angry and violent and you aren't going to let what people have to say turn you aside from what God has told you to do. When you get that attitude, you'll find out that you'll actually fight less with that attitude because Satan at heart is a coward. And he won't fight a battle that he knows he's going to lose. It's our weakness. It's our timidness. It's our wimpishness, if there is such a word, that has allowed the devil to fight us as strong as he has. And I tell you, you need to get this attitude that God is with you. God has blessed you. Whoever blesses you will be blessed. Whoever curses you will be cursed. You need to get this attitude. You need to go to the Word of God and renew yourself, and you need to stir yourself up. If you don't stir yourself up, you'll settle to the bottom. Amen. You need to get yourself stirred up. Get angry and just let the devil have it. And if you'll do that, man, I believe you will see some awesome, awesome things come to pass. Now, if there's anybody here this morning who is not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know what? You must receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit before any of these things become true. You are in covenant with God the moment you get born again, but Jesus told His disciples, don't go anywhere, don't tell anybody, don't minister until you receive power. And that would happen when the Holy Spirit came upon you. They were already born again, but they hadn't had the power. There is a separate experience from being born again where you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And a number of things happened, but one of the things that happened on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they all spoke with tongues. And speaking in tongues is a part of receiving this power of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, and some people try and speak in tongues and say a word or two, but you know what? I'm talking about flowing in the Holy Spirit to where you can pray in tongues for an hour if you need to. If you aren't speaking in tongues and flowing in this gift, this is a beginning place. You can't really apply what I've been talking about today until, first of all, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that go with it. That's a beginning place. If you haven't received that, you must receive the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be able to see these things that I've been talking about come to pass in your life. Is there anybody here today who would say, man, I'd like to receive that?
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to be led by the Holy Spirit. This teaching series was recorded at a recent Gospel Truth seminar in Kansas City, Kansas. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request series RM229 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today. To all the partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, we say thank you for your faithful support. And we want to remind you that you share in the rich rewards of seeing lives transformed by the power of the good news.